wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going, and it's Friday on B&E. We have made it to the end of another long work week. It's time for a big-time weekend in the ATX throughout the state of Texas. Conference play beginning for the Longhorns tomorrow. The NFL opened week three last night down in Houston. Carolina now 3-0. We'll get to the details of that and look forward to a tremendous Sunday in the National Football League. We've got Ryder Cup golf teeing off later this morning in Kohler, Wisconsin. We've got Major League Baseball in its stretch run. So a lot to do over the next 4 hours of fun and conversation. It begins right now on 104.9, 101, 9 a.m., 1260. And you know we're always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com on what is a gorgeous morning again in Austin, Texas. 59 degrees. 59 degrees. We'll climb to about let's go with 87, 88 degrees today in Austin, Texas. Throughout Central Texas, should be a lovely day, a lovely Friday, into a gorgeous weekend, Mr. Godbold.
No doubt about it. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. And you out there, be safe this weekend. Another gorgeous weekend. People will be out and about. Won't be that hot, so people are going to get in the cars and start going places. Be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, whether you're on the highway. Just be looking out for others and just being careful out there.
Be safe. Be part of the solution, not the problem, as we always say. And the weekend is here. Big 12 conference play is here as well. It's going to be a fun weekend. The Ryder Cup will tee off. Bottom of this hour, we'll talk to the head golf coach at the University of Texas, our friend John Fields. He is on a recruiting trip, but he's going to join us to talk about the Ryder Cup preview. The Longhorns participating. Two of the 12 members of Team USA, Burnt Orange, Longhorns. With Jordan Spieth, who will tee off this morning, paired with Justin Thomas in a four-ball match against the Europeans. Also, Scottie Scheffler, a part of Team USA. And I know you're a huge golf fan, Buck. This should be fun this weekend. And the weather looks good. Wind will be up a little bit, but weather looks great for the event there. Was supposed to be in 2020. It's in 2021. But the 43rd Ryder Cup will tee off this morning.
Yeah, it'll all be about how the Americans view this. Do they view this as just an event they have to take part of, or is it an event that they want to win?
Yeah.
The Euros want to win. They don't just take part in it. They take a lot of pride in it. And let's see if this group, and I think I kept saying nine rookies. It's not nine. It's just six. There's not nine new rookies.
Six first-timers.
Six first-timers, yeah. Yes. I kept saying nine for some reason. It's just six.
But still, it's a youthful team as far as that goes. I was listening yesterday to some of the press conferences. Tony Finau talking about how just in 2018 he was – one of the newbies, and now he's the third oldest.
Isn't that
third
something?
Oldest on the team. Yeah, I mean, obviously Tiger.
He's a young dude.
And he is. And he was expressing that, you know, just 3 years ago, he was one of the young guys, and now he's seen as one of the veterans on the team, which tells you where they are. But if you look at the world rankings, John Rahm will tee off today along with Sergio Garcia, the, you know, Ryder Cup superstar and Austinite. They're gonna face Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas today in a four-ball match, which will be a lot of fun. John Rahm's the number one player in the world, but the next nine players in the world rankings are all part of Team USA.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the world rankings, this shouldn't be close. This is the best and highest ranked. You know, the lowest ranked player on the U.S. team is Scottie Scheffler. He's 21st in the world. It's dominated. The top 20 in the world is dominated by Team USA. Meanwhile, you know, the Euros have the old, you know, they have the number one player. Then they have the old standbys and Sergio Garcia and Paul Casey and Lee Westwood is there. Rory McIlroy is there. Ian Poulter. You know, those type of players. But as far as who's playing the best right now and the best players in the world, the USA should dominate this thing on paper. But we know it's not played on paper.
Well, you got to be careful of guys like Victor Hovland and Paul Casey. Paul Casey is the old man of
the man.
But that guy is just rock solid. He's not going to make very many mistakes. The group four is the one with Shoffley. I mean, that'll be fun with Rory and those guys. That's a fun group. It really, really is. Sanders, Shoffley, and Patrick Cantlay. You're talking about solid.
Yeah, well, Patrick Cantlay just won the FedEx FedEx Cup, you know, and with this one, a brilliant final couple of weekends he had.
And Rory and with the old veteran Ian Poldergeist. I love that one, man. That is a good one.
And the USA will also be on home turf, which means they've got to set up the course the way they want. They also have the home crowd, which should be pretty ferocious there in Wisconsin.
And Poulter's a hater, man.
He's just
a hater, that dude. I love it.
I would just say that, and by the way, Poulter's been trying to curry some favor with the Wisconsin
faithful.
Oh,
that guy right there.
He's a clown, buddy.
He is. He gets after it.
But
now,
he's actually kind of endearing in the way he goes about his business, at least in the practice rounds. But, I mean, let's just say this. The 2021 Ryder Cup, if the U.S. doesn't win it, it would be a huge disappointment. It would be...
Again?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean it can't happen, but on paper, this shouldn't that be that close. I mean, John Rahm's can only do so much. You've got 9 of the 10 top players in the world on your team. Yes, you do not have Tiger Woods, but at the same time, you're loaded. You should be ready to go. You're on home turf.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick and Lee Westwood should not be Daniel Berger and Brooks Koepka.
No.
That shouldn't happen. Brooksy, that should not happen.
No.
Brooksy shouldn't get beat.
Yeah, your matches this morning in the first four ball, Spieth and Thomas against Rahm and Sergio, as we mentioned. Then the next group going off will be Dustin Johnson playing with Colin Morikawa, who's kind of fallen off of form here late. You wonder if he can get back. He had a back injury, but of course he's had a great season. They'll face Victor Hovland and Paul Casey. Then it's Daniel Berger and Brooks Koepka facing Matt Fitzpatrick and Lee Westwood. And then the final group this morning, Xander Schauffele facing with Patrick Cantlay against Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter. And of course they'll go again this afternoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Four ball and the foursomes matches today and tomorrow. Individual matches on Sunday for the Ryder Cup. First team to 14 points will win that cup. All right, let's get to your headlines. The other trending topics of your busy Friday morning, beautiful Friday morning, cool and crisp in Austin, Texas. Let's get the news. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and of course, also headlining the weekend, Texas football. Longhorn set to open Big 12 conference play tomorrow, hosting Texas Tech, 11 a.m. at DKR. Longhorns begin their quest to win their first conference championship since 2009. That's 11 seasons without a conference title. It's the longest drought in program history, if you weren't aware. A glance at the Texas Football Archive reveals that the last time the Longhorns and the program went without a conference title for this long, 1931 to 1941. Dry spell was ended by D.K. Bible, head coach there in 1942, and his team. Can 2021 be the year that new head coach Steve Sarkisian and his Longhorns end that current decade-long drought?
You know, I think one, we recognize, hey, we came here to win championships. We recognize that. We recognize that in the locker room after last week's ball game. And, you know, this is the first step in trying to achieve that. But we don't dwell on it to answer the question. You know, quite frankly, is we try to give each game all of the attention that it deserves. And then we try not to focus on the result of what the season could be, but rather, you know, focus on the task at hand, and that's Texas Tech Saturday.
There it is, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Our pregame coverage goes early tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. from Bevo Boulevard and the Texas Tail Garden. It's Kegs and Eggs tomorrow at 7 for Texas and Texas Tech. Also in the Big 12 tomorrow, TCU in the Big 12 not playing a conference game. They play SMU tomorrow at 11 a.m. as well. Iowa State will be at Baylor at 2:30 tomorrow in Waco. Iowa State comes in ranked 14th in the country. Kansas is at Duke. And in primetime tomorrow night, pair of Big 12 games. Showdown in Stillwater, 3-0 teams. Kansas State, number 25 in the country, at Oklahoma State. And then at 6:30, West Virginia will be in Norman to face the 4th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. NFL Week 3 opened last night. Carolina Panthers improved to 3-0 for their head coach Matt Rhule as they smothered the Houston Texans 24-9. The final score there, Sam Darnold threw for 304 yards, ran for a couple of touchdowns. And that defense for Carolina continues to play well. They allow just a single touchdown. Matt Rhule's squad has allowed just 20 points total in their first three victories. Win came at a cost, though. Carolina lost their star running back, Christian McCaffrey. He left the game in the first half with a hamstring injury. No word on how long that could be. And then their first overall draft pick, number 8 overall in April's draft, the cornerback J.C. Horn, suffered a broken foot. He will be out for a while. In Major League Baseball, Houston Astros' magic number to clinch the American League West remains at 3. Houston lost in L.A. to the Angels last night, 3-2. Seattle won again, finished off a sweep of Oakland, 6-5 the final. What a game at Round Rock last night. Del Diamond opening up their final homestand of the season. They rallied from 6-0 down, the Express did, to beat Tacoma, 7-6, the final on a thirsty Thursday. And as we say in golf, they'll tee it off this morning. The 43rd Ryder Cup from Kohler, Wisconsin. We'll preview that throughout the course of the morning. Some high school football scores from last night. Thursday night action to get this thing rolling. Marble Falls beat Travis High. Hayes lost to Aikens, 43-27. And Connolly opened up district play with a win over Cedar Creek, 52-28.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, here we go. How about the NFL game last night? Ugh.
Yeah.
Not so hot.
The part about that game was, you know, they didn't let the kid Mills play, which was sad. I mean, guy's not a baby. I mean, I like the way he plays. You didn't give him a chance to do anything. You just turn around and hand the ball off and try to run the clock out. That seemed kind of silly to me. Why do that? I mean, he needs to get some playing time by throwing the ball and staying in the pocket. I mean, he drove him down the field. I just didn't get why the conservative play last night.
Well, I mean, the Texans are playing to lose, I guess. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, the average yards per carry for the Texans on first down runs, which they did over and over again, hand the ball off on first down against that Carolina defense, 0.7 yards. 0.7 yards. Yet they continue to do it, drive after drive. They couldn't get any.
Unless somebody from upstairs told me, I would go up and fire the guy who's the head coach and in charge of that. If that was really the game plan and the owner doesn't know that's what they're doing, I'd be pissed this morning. I'd be like, you know, that place was crowded last night. They had a nice fan base there last night, cheering. It was loud. And then you just kept turning around, handing the ball off in an NFL game and not trying to win the game. Or they were scared of something. What were they scared of?
They were playing not to lose. They were playing, I don't know. I mean,
well, they worked. They worked because you're going to lose that. And let me tell you something. You're going to lose the way you played last night.
Well, listen, I mean, it was 24-9 at the end. Sam Darnold ran for a couple touchdowns late. But how about this? In the first drive of the second half, Texans are down 7-6. Like, I mean, because they scored a touchdown in the first half and they missed the extra point. But so it's 7-6. It's anybody's game. David Culley, the oldest first-year head coach in NFL history. He's been around a while. He's coached under guys like John Harbaugh and Andy Reid, and you know he's been there for a while.
Speaking of a grandpa coaching.
They pulled to the 39-yard line. Carolina's 39. It's 4th and 3.5. You go for it, right? I mean, odds would tell you, okay, this is only the second time we've been into Carolina territory in the football game. The first time we scored a touchdown. Now it's a 7-6 game. We don't want to kick a 56-yard field goal. We can either punt or from the 39, or we go for it. Our defense is doing a great job. Christian McCaffrey's hurt. Let's go for this. We have a rookie quarterback. We can gain 3.5 yards. We have a play that can get us 3.5 yards.
And you got competitive guys on that team. I'm looking at these guys fight their ass off last night. And then the coaches not giving them an opportunity to try to win the game. Just embarrassed. Let's just play in it.
Not only did they not go for it, they took a delay of game call so they could punt and have more room. I mean, just ridiculous stuff. We talked about Houston last week where they, you know, they punted on fourth on essentially could have had a first down or had a 3rd and 10 and said they punted on a 4th and 2 up there in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to get the fans. That's going to get the fans
well,
not to come to
the locker
game.
Room. It's going to lose the locker room. More importantly, the fans are one thing. Fans are already kind of checked out on the Texans for the most part. But at the same time, you're going to lose your locker room, Buck. I mean, as you just said it, you got guys that are fighting their tails off trying to win a football game.
Defense is fighting like mad.
Yes, they are. And kept them in the game. It's no surprise that after they punted the ball there from the 39 with a chance to maybe go take the lead with a field goal or a touchdown in the third quarter that they kind of let down. I mean,
I'm looking at that, wait a second, guys,
this is what we're doing here. We're working our tails off all week for this game and you know, doing our part. Give us a chance.
And you couldn't be afraid. And if he can't come and say, well, I didn't want to get the young rookie his. Wait a minute, that guy was playing, you know, taking some hits, throwing some nice balls. He was ready to compete, and you didn't give him any ammunition. It's just like you gave him a gun with no bullets. I'm like, this guy's just standing there, and you guys are doing silly things, not going for it on fourth down. By the way, Carolina, without their running back, looks very average to me, on the offensive side.
But I feel like they have a quarterback. I mean, Sam Darnold played well.
There's no doubt.
And the hamstring, you never know. Those can be kind of, who knows how long it'll be. But
he's one of those over-muscular guys, too.
Yeah,
it's always going to come up like
that. They
got
to make sure he's good. But you're right. Without him, they're kind of weaponless.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got DJ Moore, and they've got some guys. But, you know, it's going to be a slog for them. But their defense is for sure. They're legit. They haven't given up double digits in a game this year. They gave up 8 to the Jets, 3 to the Saints, 9 to the Texans.
So, you know, Matt Rhule and Phil Snow and that defense are for real. And they're a contender in that division because the division features Atlanta, New Orleans, who they just beat, and then, of course, Tampa Bay, who's
right.
the best team in the NFC and best team in football, arguably. But they're there. And, it, you know, the question is, can they get Christian McCaffrey back soon enough? It was a tough loss for J.C. Horn, too, man. He's the young corner out of South Carolina, went eighth overall in the draft. He suffered a broken bone in his foot there in the third quarter. He'll be out for a couple months, too.
Yeah, Collie, I never heard him talk at the end. But, man, I don't even know what you say as a head coach. I don't know how you explain that to your fans. I mean, like I said, if it's coming from up top, we really don't want to win the games. We just want to be careful not to get our – maybe this is our future quarterback, but we just want to play this out and see what's going on with, you know, with Watson and stuff. It just looked just bad. You know, I knew Chuba Hubbard – you know, they got Chuba Hubbard, but that guy looks fragile running up in there. He had a third – he had a fourth down and whatever, fourth down and two. They stuffed his ass. I mean, he had no power running up in there like McCaffrey would, but – it's
well, Chuba's going to get his chance.
Well, now he's going to get his chance.
Yeah, I mean, there. But yes, he is. I mean,
he doesn't hit it up there real hard.
Well, CMC is such a weapon. I mean, he's such a great weapon for them. He's their best player by a long stretch on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to have to live on their defense at this time. And here it is from the Twitter account Surrender Index. Surrender Index. It says Houston decided to punt to Carolina from the Carolina 39 on 4th and 4 with 10:44 to go in the third quarter, losing 6-7. It says here. With a surrender index of 47.03, this punt ranks in the 99.6 percentile of cowardly punts of the 2021 season and in the 99.1st percentile of all punts since 1999. Cowardly, David Culley. And you know this. You coach football. You played football. You can't coach scared. Even if you have an average to below average to bad team, you can't coach scared you're going to lose your team.
But were they when you looked at them, if not for the game plan –
right,
exactly. When you looked at them, did it not look like they were okay?
And that's what you're saying. They weren't playing scared. They were coached scared. To the point of the punt, the first down runs where they would never throw the ball on. Like, Matt Rhule and Phil Snow potentially knew that the Texans were not going to throw the ball on first down. So they would collapse the line. That's why they averaged 0.7 yards per carry on first down.
That is bizarre.
And yet they continued to do it. So it's 2nd and 10 over and over again with a rookie quarterback never calling the first down
throw. A rookie quarterback who is ready to play in the game, who looked like he was ready.
Ready to go. At home, to the crowd, as you mentioned.
It was a nice crowd. They were going nuts.
Ridiculous.
And then they started to boo. They were like, wait a minute.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, that was not good.
When you're coaching and playing strong, coaching cowardly, you're going to get booed.
Is that why David Culley hadn't been a head coach?
Yes.
He's a nice guy, because that's all I heard last night. The nicest guy in the world.
Everybody loves him.
Everybody, I know.
Let's go have ice cream with him.
Yes, everybody loves this guy.
Get him off my sidelines.
Yeah, get him off my sideline and give me somebody that's trying to win.
But how much of that is coming down from the top
that's
above
what
him
I'd like.
Is the question in Houston. That's the bigger issue.
I know this. To me, when I watch that, I'm thinking, like you said, they're playing out. I'm thinking, this has to come from an above because there's no coach that I've ever seen would coach like that.
Well, he punted last week when he had a chance to be 3rd and 10 in Cleveland on the road. I mean,
why are they trying to lose games? What's the deal?
Why are they doing a lot of the things that they're doing in Houston? It's a mess, total mess. But Carolina's 3-0. They've joined they're the first team to 3 victories in 2021. We'll get into the
they're not going to play the freaky dude. He's not going to play. I mean, he's not even –
Deshaun?
Yeah. I mean
– he's on the shelf.
But he could play. The NFL's not saying he can't play.
Yeah, he hasn't been suspended by the league or the commissioner.
Although you'll have everybody there with all kinds of picket signs when you go to the game.
That's true enough. But, no, it's a mess. And Carolina on the rise in the NFC South. But
I like Sam Darnold the way he's playing.
I do, too. I'm glad for Sam Darnold, too, because he was in that Jets mess for a while, and now he's got an opportunity.
Another bad – operation.
And I'll give Matt Rhule credit because they went and got him for not a lot, and they're going to give him a chance. And if he's the guy, then they have their guy. If he doesn't pan out, they can still be on the search for their quarterback, but they're building their defense. Christian McCaffrey is a star. When healthy, he should be back shortly. But do like what Carolina is doing.
There's nothing worse than having a football team that is ready to go fight and then a coaching staff that just tells you, hey, here's a gun. I'm sorry, we forgot the bullets.
Yeah,
I mean that's professional football.
Lame is what it is.
Wow,
lame. Cowboys will wrap up the NFL Week 3 Monday night, so obviously we'll have Monday to preview that game. We'll get into the other NFL weekend games coming up with some previews there and the big picks of the weekend. There are several other teams that have a chance to get to 3-0 this weekend as well, and some good matchups. But, Buck, as I mentioned in the headlines, it is pretty amazing that the Longhorns have gone 10 years, 11 years without a Big 12 championship or a conference title, and they've only played for it one time in those 11 years, if you're paying attention. And again, as I said, in the archives of Texas football, this ties the longest drought in program history, and that's what we've been and fans have been put through the last decade plus. It was 2009 when Hunter Lawrence made a controversial kick to beat Nebraska to give the Longhorns a conference title. It's been that long, Buck.
Yeah.
Is this the year that they can be back in the mix?
This is the year they should be. And that thing starts tomorrow. That's a huge game tomorrow.
It is a huge game. It's because we know what comes beyond it, right? I mean, it's TCU and Oklahoma,
yep,
in Fort Worth, and then in Dallas. And, you know, the season, the Big 12 slate can get off to a great start, and you can build some confidence with a new quarterback playing his first conference game and a team with what seems to be some star-type players.
Enough. There you
go. But they got to go play like stars.
Yeah, they have enough stars on this team. They have enough really good football players. They don't have – I don't know if they have great football players with the exception of one guy playing running back. But other than that, they have some really good players. And with this head coach in a conference this year that's kind of shaky, the importance of this game is big. It's big because I'm one of those guys that said, you know, you still have to wait and see. Give this guy a couple years. Let him get his culture in there. I think he's going to – you look at the recruiting that's coming on. He's recruiting big, strong guys from all over the country. But here's an opportunity in his first year – With a bad conference right now, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it appears to be down. I mean, early.
Although the two teams get better that are ahead of them to me. They have been known to get better as the year goes on.
Matt Campbell at Iowa State, Lincoln Riley's teams at Oklahoma typically do improve as the year goes on. And, look, that's why you made the change at coach. So that you improved. And you get better as the year goes on. I mean, that's what Steve Sarkisian was hired for. That's what Steve Sarkisian hired his coaching staff for, because, you know, development has been a problem with this program. How has it been a decade plus since they won a championship? It's not been recruiting. I mean, recruiting rankings would say it's not about recruiting. It's been about the development of the players, the Longhorn Country Club culture.
Yes.
Can you turn that? Can you turn that where it's not a week-to-week program that plays down and up to its competition, but a program and a team that shows up each week and plays a high-level brand of football, coached well and on point with a good game plan? That becomes the question, and it begins tomorrow against a very beatable Texas Tech football team.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe that in this particular case, this year, you're going to continue to change the culture. It's going to take a while. But in this particular year, when you're looking at the rest of this conference, you got to be – and the three games that you've played, you found out a lot about yourself. In game one, you found out a lot in game two, and then you mauled the team in game three. I like it for them. I like the preseason deal with this thing. And so I think the head coach and his staff should know exactly what they have going into this game tomorrow as players.
Correct. And then on the other side, you kind of know what Texas Tech is. They've got a somewhat of a veteran quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about that big receiver, Eric.
He can't beat you. He can't
stop him.
Yes.
And your defense has to be, you know,
aggressive group tomorrow.
Aggressive and after it and force the issue. Because, look, this is a big step up. And, I mean, Texas got their comeuppance at Arkansas, right? That was their baptism and into the season. Texas Tech still hadn't played a team with the talent Texas has yet. So you have to deliver the blow. You have to come play to win tomorrow. And as you said, the fans need to be in the stands by 10:30 and ready to go for an 11 o'clock kick, and they can be a factor in this game, too.
Who's up for breakfast and ready to eat?
That becomes the
question. Who's going to eat, Zay, tomorrow?
Who's going to eat?
Who's going to eat tomorrow? I know one guy will, number five.
They better feed him.
Yes.
Because he'll eat. And don't coach like David Culley and the Houston Texans. That would be very disastrous.
Very disappointing.
Speaking of coaches, we're talking to a coach coming up. We're going to talk to John Fields, head golf coach at the University of Texas. A lot of burnt orange in Kohler, Wisconsin. We'll preview the Ryder Cup with our friend Coach Fields. On the other side, also, Craig Way has his Craig Way report coming. It's a Friday on B&E. The weekend is here. We're getting you into it on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, Texas football, the conversation of the morning. Texas and Texas Tech tomorrow, 11 o'clock right here on the Horn. and throughout the Austin Radio, across the Austin Radio Network. Craig Way has the Craig Way Report coming up. Also more on the dismal performance by the Houston Texans last night on Thursday Night Football. But golf is on top of mind, top of the brain this morning, because the Ryder Cup tees off here this morning in Kohler, Wisconsin. And joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, he is the Longhorns head golf coach. He has been since 1997 and done a heck of a job there for a long, long time. He's got a list of great pros and players that have played here and now moved on, including two members of the 12-person USA Ryder Cup team who will tee off this morning. Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler are part of that. He is John Fields. Coach John Fields joins us this morning. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm fabulous. I'm so excited for the Ryder Cup and Longhorn Golf and the University of Texas Athletic Department.
1997, Coach. Wow.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that, Bucky. And thank you both for having me on. I'm so thrilled to be with you guys. Bucky, I arrived right when you were there and you were tutoring Ricky Williams, and the synergy of our program was so sensational at that time. And I'm excited about the fact that we may be re-entering some era like that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Coach. I agree with you 100%, whether it's your golf program that's been excellent for years. When things weren't going good, you still had some fabulous golf teams, both men and women's golf teams. And now the baseball team and the women's basketball, the men's basketball, the football program. It's just that you get so close and you just wait for it. And he and I are just talking about it. It's been a while since there's a championship in football here, Big 12, and getting to that game. And for you, it's like every year you're going to the Nationals, you're putting guys into the PGA, and it's got to be fun for you to watch these guys as they grow, because when they come to you, they basically are kids when they get to you.
Well, I would tell you this: the last 12 years has just been sensational for our program and for my wife and I, Pearl. Every weekend is a blessing these days on the PGA Tour. We get to sit back and enjoy that and watch the Jordan Spieths, Cody Gribbles, Dylan Fratelli, Brandon Stone, Jonathan Vegas, Kramer Hickok, and on and on and on, compete on the PGA Tour. But what's thrilling for me, Bucky, and I think this is what's so important about Austin, Texas right now and the possibility of incredibleness, is that our student body hasn't really enjoyed that over the last 10, 12 years. The golf program, swimming, volleyball, all that, and the other programs have done just fine. But when football does what they can do, nobody really remembers how energizing that can be. We had Tom Kite talk to our team just on the cusp the other day, and he said that when they won the 71 and 72 national championship, really the energy came from the football team.
It's crazy. John Fields is with us. That is a great point by Tom and a legendary Longhorn. John, talk about the synergy, and then we'll talk about the Ryder Cup. But because you have been there so long, 97, you've been through the great times in the Mack Brown era, Rick Barnes and then Augie Garrido and yourself, and then now you've seen what's happened the last 10 years as far as maybe not aligned at the top, changing transition and leadership at a lot of posts. But it does feel like, at least from where Bucky and I sit, that it's aligned again, from the president's chair to the Board of Regents to the athletic director, and then the athletic department feels like, coming off the Director's Cup championship and whatnot, that there is a lot of alignment within the athletic department and where things are headed.
It is, and our governor, who's a Texas ex, that doesn't hurt either. But I will say this, from my perspective, and this is coming from all these years being at Texas, Chris Del Conte, what he's putting together right now with the new facilities and recognizing that we're never going to stop. I think that's where we got into trouble in that 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007 time frame, is that we basically stopped growing. We kind of had arrived. And now what everybody recognizes is that you never arrive. You never, ever, ever arrive. You're in a constant build. And if you stop building, you're in trouble. And so look for some great things to happen on campus over the next 5-10 years under Chris Del Conte's leadership and President Hartzell and even our governor. I'm so excited about being part of this. I'm 62 years old. I'm 25 years into this. and I feel like a kid again.
I bet you do. I mean, so does Eddie Reese. Hell, they had to talk. I mean, the guy was getting ready to retire, and they talked him back into this madness. So,
you know what I asked him the other day was, when you're hired as a new coach at Texas, you get kind of a little bit of a honeymoon period. And, of course, he retired, and then he was rehired, which means he's now in his honeymoon period.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about his honeymoon. Yeah. I think everything is just going to be fine. John, let me ask you about this Ryder Cup and your players and just players in general from the PGA Tour and the Americans that play in this. The importance of this, they're so young. I mean, there's six new ones in there. The old ones are young. Do they still understand this game of golf and what's going on? It's such a popular it's become a popular sport, but it's become a money thing. These guys make so much money. The pride that you play for when you play for your country is really, really special, and this event is the most special of all of them.
Well, it makes me think about a couple things, Bucky. One, when Jordan Spieth was getting ready to turn pro after 1 year and one semester, I brought him in December, and he was getting ready to turn pro in January. Actually, he had already turned pro, but I brought him in, and I told him, I said, look, you know, one thing I want you to know is that I never want you to leave Texas. I think it's the right time for you to go. I know that it's such an exciting moment for you, but I don't want you to think that as a coach that I would ever want you to leave. And if you want to come back, you can. I understand that you're going. And then I asked him a couple questions. I said, you know, if it's about the money, do you understand that the money's going to be there? And he said to me, he looked right at me and he said, Coach, it's never going to be about the money. You know how competitive I am. You know how much I like to compete. I happen to be a golfer, and that's why I'm going out there. And the reason I'm going out there is because I've played in 7 PGA Tour events. I've made 5 cuts. And as a result, I've made 5 cuts with my C game. I've never had my A game. That's why I believe I should be out there. Then I asked him, I said, okay, if that's the case, Pearl and I would like on our bucket list to go to the Ryder Cup one day. And he looked at me and he said, Coach, that's no problem. I'm going to be there in 2 years. You guys will be with me at Glen Eagles. And I'm like, okay, and we did. So that's one. Two, Scottie Scheffler is the most competitive person I've ever been around, and that includes Jordan. So there's a top 5 group of guys that I feel are just so overwhelmingly competitive. Scottie Scheffler's one, Jordan Spieth's one, Cody Gribble's one, Kim Herron from New Mexico is one. And I am so excited about these guys because they bring what I like to do. And, Bucky, you know this as a coach. When you get a freshman in or a rookie, you've got somebody that may be able to overcome the deficiency of, or the lack of knowledge or the experience with their enthusiasm. And I think that's what Stricker has tapped into.
Steve Stricker, the captain of Team USA. John Fields is with us, the longtime head golf coach at the University of Texas, and a lot of burnt orange. I know you're proud when you see Scotty and Jordan on this team, and then the lead golf analyst at Golf Channel. You got Justin Leonard, and of course, Brandel Chamblee is there, both former Longhorns. It's a burnt orange golf season right now. Tell us about Scottie Scheffler in our audience. I mean, we've gotten to know Jordan over time, and he's been such a great champion. But, boy, what a year and what a rise the last 18 months for Scottie. Now 21st in the world, his first Ryder Cup. And as you just said, John, he's as competitive as anybody you've ever been around. That's what comes in handy when it's time to play the Euros, who love doing this and are great at the Ryder Cup. So it feels like Scottie Scheffler is going to fit right in. With a quest for a championship here.
Right. I think that a few things about both of them, Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler, they're both great putters, and they're both competitively great putters. And so they're like that running back that can see a hole that nobody else can see. They're like that guy that, like Vince Young, you just can't catch. He's not that fast, but he's quick. And in these guys' case, their putting abilities, their abilities around the green, and that speaks volumes in match play. And so both of them are great match players. They both won the United States Junior Championship. Jordan Spieth is the only other player on the planet that has won 2 or multiple U.S. Juniors. The only other one is Tiger Woods. And then Scotty followed him with a U.S. Junior Championship, and that's match play. And then Scotty finished second in the World Golf Championship, the Dell World Golf Championship, right here in Austin, Texas, match play. So that those are the things that I think Stricker was looking at. Obviously, with Jordan, you get the experience now, but you also get that enthusiasm and you get that competitiveness. And in the case of Scottie Scheffler, you get the enthusiasm, competitiveness, and all the accoutrements around the greens that are going to make him great this week.
You know, John, you when you play the game of golf in Europe, there's only a handful that are just they're all great to me. When I watch those guys, just what they do, the way they practice, the way they handle themselves. You have two golfers that, you know, I've been following them, you know, Hostler, I've been following Hostler, and I've been following John Vegas for a long, long time. When I watch Vegas play, I look at him, and there's something between – it's the game within the game with him that's – I'm not saying it holding him back because he's won, but there's something that holds him back that's the game between himself and the game. And Bo, is he just one of those guys that just may just take a little bit more time?
I think so. And in the case of a guy that's going to be out there a long time, you get peaks and valleys, and you just hope that those peaks are so high, because there is the peaks and valleys. And Bo has been struggling a little bit with his golf swing, and that's simply because, be honest with you, when he was in high school, right at the end of his high school career, Jim Flick was his teacher. That was Jack Nicklaus's teacher out in California. And he passed away, and he's kind of been searching ever since. He still reached the highest value in college golf. He won the Fred Haskins Award. But I think he's going to have a great career. And I think in Jonathan Vegas's case, just refining, and I've been told that he's really done some great work with his putting. I haven't talked to him in the last few weeks, but I've heard that he's done some great work with his putting, and that's really the one thing that has held him back. Because ball striking, he is unbelievable. And, Bucky, I got two questions for you, because okay. While I got you on the phone.
Okay.
How did Ricky Williams manage to stay healthy for an entire year when he won the Heisman Trophy?
Well, first of all, there's nobody's got a body like he has. He takes really good care of his body. He doesn't put a lot of junk into his body. You'd be surprised. You know, people talk about, you know, I always say he's a half a pizza away from 260 when he played. But he doesn't – he really takes care of his body when it comes to the part of fueling his body. You know what I mean? He's not a guy that overextends himself on whether it's alcohol or too much water or too much this. He's pretty even keeled on how he works. And physically – he's just one of those gifted guys. He really is. He's one of those guys like Herschel Walker. That if he just wanted to do push-ups and didn't have to do squats and things like that, he can make a living on just doing push-ups. He was just very, very blessed and very, very gifted that way. And plus, he's smart.
Well, that's wonderful. And then I've got one other question.
Sure.
Does Bijan have it?
Yes. He has it. It's just a matter of how they're going to put him in position to get it, because he has it. It's just a matter of how you put him in position to get it. And he's a patient kid, and I think he's one of those, you know, he's not a self-serving person. He's a team player, and he can't wait to do good things for his team, not just for himself, but for his team coach. He's a team guy, and that's why, you know, you get guys like that he and Ricky, they don't say very much about them as individuals. They always talk about the team.
Yeah. Well, I'm super excited about Texas Athletics. I'm super excited about today, the Ryder Cup, Steve Stricker, the captain, and the burnt orange blood that's in that team.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. We appreciate your perspective, John. You feeling good about Team USA? I know you've coached two of these guys, and you've coached against a lot of these guys. Colin Morikawa at Cal and Dustin Johnson, Coastal Carolina, Patrick Cantlay, UCLA, Justin Thomas, Alabama. There's a lot of team golf in these guys. They've been there in the college ranks. That needs to come up when they're playing for Team USA starting today.
Let them go. Let them go. Get it. Let them get out of the bus and say, go get it.
All right. Okay, let me ask you this question. What is it about this Cantlay dude that's now out of nowhere, John, that you're talking about?
Putter,
a guy
putting.
Besides putting, I mean, you're talking about a cold killer on a golf course. What is it with this guy?
Yeah, he's stoic. He won the Ben Hogan Award. There was three guys, Patrick Rogers, Jordan Spieth, and Patrick Cantlay, up for the Ben Hogan Award years ago after Jordan's freshman year, and Patrick Cantlay won it. And then he was hurt for a couple years, but now he has refined his game to the highest level. And he's like a machine out there, but with passion. And he's a heck of a putter and short game, same thing. That guy's dangerous.
Dangerous. He will tee it up this morning along with Jordan Spieth. Jordan playing with Justin Thomas. The first group off this morning against the Ryder Cup legend Sergio Garcia and the number one player in the world, Jon Rahm. What a match that should be to start Ryder Cup 2021. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. So great to hear you. And thanks for making time. I know you're on a recruiting trip, and thanks for fitting us in, and we appreciate you.
Stay safe, Coach.
I love it, and I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Hook 'em horns.
Hook 'em horns. Jon Fields, the head golf coach, University of Texas since 1997, and has coached two of these guys who will play it, tee it up this morning in Kohler, Wisconsin. We'll come back, pick up that conversation, the synergy in Longhorn Athletics. You could hear it oozing out of Jon Fields. Also get to your headlines at the top of the hour. First, it's Craigway.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Jon Fields, head golf coach at Texas, joining us, previewing the Ryder Cup, which tees off coming up here this morning. And what an opportunity for Team USA. As we said, if they can't win this one, Buck. I was looking at the world golf rankings.
If they can't win this, it won't be the first time, because they've had a lot of talent before, and they've not won the Ryder Cup.
It's home field advantage. It's home crowd advantage. It's set up the course the way you want it. And if you go to the world golf rankings, number one player in the world is Jon Rahm. He'll play for the European teams from Spain. But the rest of the top 10 players, Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, they're all Team USA. The next time you get to a European player, it's number, 14 in the world, and or 15 in the world, Victor Hovland, and then Rory McIlroy behind him. So it should be a lot of Team USA this week. We'll see. We've seen it before where the Ryder Cup shifts the other way because Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter and those guys are just such great players at that game. So we're talking some golf. We're also talking football. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian coming up, what he had to say after practice yesterday. There was a media availability. His thoughts as they head into conference play tomorrow. Also, speaking of Texas and Texas Tech tomorrow, should be a beautiful day for a Big 12 football game. We've got tickets to give away to that game in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, our final hour of our four. We have a pair of tickets and I believe a parking pass to give to one of you people. You people.
They need to get up and be there.
Can I give an opinion on the Texans game last night? As our friend Tony Romo would say. Thank you.
Yeah, they didn't even try. Well,
appreciate
I think
you.
The players tried. I think the players tried a lot. I thought the defense was up to the task. I thought the quarterback was ready to go. And their offensive line, everybody was ready to go except for the coaching staff. They were doing, I don't know, maybe what they were told from upstairs or whatever, but it was, I don't know, Coach Cully, that seemed like you were trying not to win.
Yeah, it was fairly obvious. It felt in a national TV audience.
They booed the hell out of them, man. That was a crowd. They had I was wondering if they would have a crowd. They had a real enthusiastic crowd. And then when the point shaving started, they went sour. Did you hear them booing?
That might be the last game they come to.
After they heard me booing.
Well, I think the fans that were there were watching them in the first 2 weeks and said, man, I kind of like this team. I don't know any of them, but they play hard. They play like they want to win. And then they showed up for this game last night. And Carolina's the better team. But in the end, Texans had their opportunities. But the coaching staff, what is it that our famous cut that we play, the dang coaching mistake? When it's John L. Smith at Michigan State, and he says, the players are playing the tails off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
I know this.
Screwing it up.
That's dang coaching mistake by Appalachian State last night with the running back running and falling down at the three.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yes.
Was that a bad beat?
Yeah. We have another smart football player out there, which...
He didn't cover the spread?
Why are you trying to be smart? Nobody asked you to be smart.
Over.
No.
The game was over,
No,
Coach.
Nobody asked you to be smart.
Get in the end zone.
What we asked you to do is, when there's a big, huge, gaping hole there... And you slide at the three, and you're up by one. Come on, man. Go ahead.
Finish it off.
Hey, there wasn't that much time.
Hey.
There was.
Hey,
there was
listen,
over a
minute.
Yeah, you're right. There was over a minute left.
Listen, young man, don't think about yourself or the team. Think about yourself.
Think about me.
Think about Bucky. Get that
thing
in the end zone.
Are you kidding me?
Be selfish.
They won by one. Guess what the line was? 7.
And he could have scored?
And he could have scored and kicked the extra point. They still had time.
Come on, man.
What? Who started asking football players to be smart all of a sudden? Who coaches? Started that?
Coaches.
Coaches?
Hey.
Yeah, okay.
If you get on the ground.
Hey, Cully.
That's a first down. If you get on the ground, we control this game. We'll run the clock out. They'll never get the ball back.
Hey, David Cully, why don't you become a smart coach?
Well, it took him 30 years to get his first head coaching job. Maybe there's a reason.
That was unbelievable last night.
Here's a guy that says, I tried to watch the Texans game. He's a Cowboy fan, but I saw where it was headed. Turned it off, went to bed. That's right. Because the players were trying, the coaches were not. That was pretty obvious. We'll pick it up on the other side. Carolina improved to 3-0 last night. Also, the Longhorns looking to end a Big 12 championship drought. It begins tomorrow. We'll preview that and hear from Steve Sarkisian. And we'll preview the big games of your college and pro football weekend. Plus, the Ryder Cup will tee off in our next hour, so we'll be following that as well. Lock it in all morning long, wherever you're finding us, live, local, and digital, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.